Commander Ransom's stand-up routine is more of a raw, unfiltered take on dating and mating. Migley Moe's Corvarian sludge worms are exquisitely charged, and the Cerritos is like the Enterprise of support ships. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the seventh rule with Sirach Lofton.
Hello, hello.
My name is Ryan T. Husk. Today, we're doing a review of Lower Decks Season 3, Episode 3, The Mining of Mine's Mines. And we are joined with a very special guest today. Melissa Longo is here to bring the cheer.
Hi, how you doing? How's it going?
Well, I guess I was wrong. no. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
On the mend.
What was the name of the attendees teacher that you mentioned?
Miglimo. Dr. Miglimo.
Dr. Miglimo.
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 Yeah.
I know. I was playing around with how to say it too. Like,
was that our first time seeing this character?
No, we've seen him a couple times. And I thought that they called him Miglimo, but I feel like this time she might have called him Miglimo. So yeah. I don't even know anymore. I think he's great. Okay, first things first. Can we just address what everybody's going to be talking about in this episode?
Leah Brahms?
That's the one. So Leah Brahms was a famous composer.
No.
She was in two episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. I'm sure it was the same actress that played her. I did recognize the voice. I wrote down, what was her name? Susan Gibney. So she was in two episodes of Next Generation. And it was really funny because Geordi falls in love with her hologram when she's like missing or presumed dead or something like that. And so he's researching like what happened to her and is looking at her personal logs and falls in love with her like a creep. And that's kind of one of the major reasons that Geordi kind of got this reputation for being like not good with ladies. Is like he's fallen in love with the holodeck program, you know, he just has the worst luck. But anyway, so that was Leah Brahms, and it was a really cool callback. And I'm sure that was her. Yeah, Susan Gibney.
I kind of screamed when I saw her. I was like,
wow, you screamed.
I didn't scream because I don't have the voice for it. But but I was like, of course Rutherford would fall for Leah Brahms. She would be his fantasy woman.
He's an engineer like Geordi.
Yes.
Also, she played, upon looking up, she played Commander and Captain Erica Benteen in Deep Space Nine episodes Homefront and Paradise Lost. So I believe that was the lady that was kind of like the right hand of the Admiral that was in that two-part episode at Starfleet headquarters, which was at the Japanese Garden that we visited earlier this year. But anyway, so she's also had some work on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Okay, so I missed that was a call to a throwback character. So she's the one that expanded the warp drive or something. I think that was the credit that she was given in this episode.
The leader in warp, leader in warp field theory.
I was too busy squeeing. Yeah.
But you know, she's a doctor of theoretical physics, which is pretty cool. Because she's
and Geordi. Geordi is a doctor of theoretical girlfriends. The nerds are gonna love that joke. That's solid.
Oh man, we won't be getting him on the show now. Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Geordi.
Yes, Mr. LeVar Burton.
Love that dude. But what did you guys think though overall of this episode? Personally, I loved all the monsters that popped up. You know, the like the Klingon clowns and all those other guys.
I wrote down the Klingon clowns. I was like, Voyager clowns meet Klingons. How fun is that? In the Thaw, was it? Or something, the Voyager episode? I can't remember.
Oh.
Voyager clowns. And then Borg snakes. That's funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. The Borgs, killer Borg snakes. yeah. Yeah. I like the whole kind of back and forth between the lower decks and the other ship's lower decks.
Carl Sweat.
They were the slower decks, though.
Yeah. I love the sarcasm that they had. They were like, is switching it up part of our mission plan? I just love their little sarcasm throughout the whole thing, and I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, this show had a lot of jokes, and as it usually does. Speedy McWheels.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. But the one that really got me was Boimler's fantasy. When his when Boimler's fantasy came through, I busted this out.
Poor laughing. Guy. And then when she said,
"This guy comes on a power," he comes on a power scooter
with a sidecar,
literally.
And she's like, "Even in your fantasies, you're in a sidecar."
Yeah.
He says, "Well, because driving's dangerous." Oh, Boimler.
Yeah. No. He's like, the Borg War has started and Federation needs you. I was like, yeah, sure. The whole Federation is relying on one guy right now. It's Boimler.
Ensign Boimler.
Ensign Boimler.
That was, you guys notice that Ensign Core D of the slower decks had webbed fingers.
No.
So he was some kind of alien, presumably, mm-hmm. even though his face looked human. But he did have webbed fingers. So I was wondering what that means, what kind of alien that is, or if he's just some human that is great at swimming.
Yeah. Could be from one of those people, like one of those people who live near the Philippines that spend much of their time underwater, and so there's a little bit of webbing in there between their fingers, but they also have a greater lung capacity so that they can stay underwater for longer.
Really?
Yeah, should look them up. They're pretty fascinating. But and then the other one was a Tellarite, right?
I'm not sure if that was a Tellarite. No? It's tough to tell. It might have been. No. But it's tough to tell because they have kind of like the lower decks version of aliens. So he kind of looked like a Tellarite. So we can go with it that it's a Tellarite, but it didn't specifically say one way or the other. Probably was.
I got excited about that too.
I do love Tellarites.
That was exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. The other moment that I thought was hilarious, who's the guy that has that crush on Ransom? The bald.
Stevens.
Stevens.
Steve Stevens is his name.
He's hilarious.
Yes, he is.
And the moment he had in this episode, I was busting out on too, when Mariner basically says, "Yeah." They're calling Ransom an ineffective leader. And he was like, who said that?
And then when she said, and his core is weak, he's like, he has the strongest core in the fleet. Now that's funny.
That was funny. Yeah. So,
well, Melissa, I can't find what you're talking about, but I did find a very fun and interesting picture to enjoy. Here it is right here.
Interesting.
It's somebody with webbed fingers.
Yeah.
Wow. That is interesting.
I'm going to keep looking for those guys, though.
Much, much easier to catch a baseball.
Yep.
Boom.
No, I need to stop looking that up.
Yeah. He has the strongest core in the Federation.
The Bajo?
Oh, Lolita Fajo?
No, they're tribe from Borneo.
Oh, Borneo. Got it. Okay, I'll check that out.
And they're considered sea gypsies for good reason.
Little facts. I like it. Oh, another troll that I really liked in this episode. It was just a small one, but this is what makes Lower Decks so good for me. It's just like they take on certain Star Trek issues and they make them super funny. And the one that I'm talking about is when Boimler and the girl from the other Lower Decks, from Slower Decks, when they were both trying to use their communicator at the same time.
And oh my gosh. Hilarious.
Captain, I just want to... Oh, no, you go. I'm sorry. You go first. Should I go stand over? And then there was another point where he's like, should I just go stand? So you want me to go stand, walk over there a little bit farther? And I thought that was hilarious because it's just, you never see that happen where two people are both like talking at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a good troll.
We've all thought of it. We've all thought it.
Yeah. It's fun that they explore those things that are like the little slice of life that you wouldn't have on like a Deep Space Nine or a Discovery or anything like that.
Right.
They wouldn't do the little slice of life where, you know, some minor thing happens, but in real life, these kind of things would happen. Now they wouldn't be as silly about it. They would just part right away and be like, oh, sorry. And then like get away. But instead they drag it out and made it funny for us.
Like, on the Lower Decks, you might see the door malfunction. So it doesn't open right away or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. And that's what makes me really like, that's what I really like about this this show is the way their humor is just hilarious. When that, when Steve Stevens has his arms broken off from
gosh.
and it's funny because they use the old school cast where you can't put your arms down, you know, that had the little little thing right there. Like, seriously, are they using that cast in the future? Like they haven't, they got dermal regenerators and all this stuff, but they still have the old school cast where you gotta.
I
thought that was funny with his drink in his hand, trying to drink his drink. And then he does the face spill and it, his little cinnamon schnapps. What does he say? Cinnamon schnapps.
Yeah. When he was like, he's like, it's just you and me or something like that.
Yeah.
And I guess it's just you and me. And he goes to Portis and it just goes all over his face. That did give me a giggle. That was good.
Yeah.
Ah, cinnamon schnapps.
Yeah. I was thinking, oh, that cinnamon's burning up.
Yeah. Totally worth it, though.
Oh man, it was so
funny. At the end there when they say, oh well, you're definitely Cali class famous. You know, they're not like famous.
Love that line.
They're Cali class famous.
I wrote that down. You're Cali class famous. You know, like that's kind of cool. Cali class famous. But I also liked that when Rutherford when Tendi is saying I'm prepping my brain so much I've been prepping so much I'm afraid my brain is going to explode with science, and Rutherford's like, that's how I want to go.
That was a sweet moment.
That was one of my trivioids. I said Rutherford Rutherford wants to go by his brain exploding with science. I was like, that one doesn't quite roll off the tongue, so I'm leaving that one out. But it was a funny moment.
That's how I want
to
go.
Another moment I thought was funny was when they were ragging on Boimler at the end. They were like, oh, I thought you were a lot shorter. Actually, I thought you were a little robot. And then Tendi does the whole robot voice and everything.
Yeah. And Boimler wants to be people.
Yeah. And Boimler is like, guys, I'm people. I'm like, these guys are just stupid. They must have so much fun writing this show and just sitting there laughing at each other's jokes.
So there was another interesting little tidbit in this episode. They mentioned Parisi squares, and mm-hmm. that was in Next Generation. I don't know if we ever saw them playing Parisi squares, but I know that we've heard them talk about it. Or maybe this was the one.
Yeah,
was that
I
the
didn't
one?
Know. What
was that the didn't one where Riker was play? Fighting with his dad? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Then yeah. That is, okay, that, and it's kind of like watching American Gladiators, if that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, let me pull that up. Here it is. Yeah, it is. Let's see, so it's kind of like, you're like American Gladiators here.
Yeah.
And here's that's... Worf
look at Worf's
ready.
Hair.
That, is that George Jefferson Worf?
Yeah. Moving on up.
Moving on up.
Those so outfits.
He did mention that. That's definitely that, well,
wait
a nice
a minute.
Little
so that,
callback.
That, what you just showed on, what you just showed with them, those outfits, that's Parisi squares?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they wear these tight, you know, battle gear things, and then they grab those
Q-tips.
Whatever's yeah giant mm-hmm. Q-tips, and they try to clean each other's ears with them. They're like, oh, I'm gonna get you. No, I try on this side, and then you better not clean my ears, I'm gonna clean your ears.
Parisi squares, I've never even heard that. I thought it was those game, I thought it was that little game that you play when you go to a carnival and they give you some tickets and you can go and pick those little games. And there's one where those little squares that you move around trying to get the puzzle in order.
Oh, yeah. That makes
that's
sense.
What I was. Yeah, that's what yeah. I was. Oh, that is that Parisi squares? I didn't know it was completely made up fictitional Star Trek reference.
But they also mentioned a ship, the USS Hood, which
yes,
was a
catch.
Ship that Riker was assigned to after his time on the Potemkin.
Yeah, it was the ship that he was on before the Enterprise.
Right.
I don't
what
know
is it called?
The USS Hood. Now that one was famously captained by Captain DeSoto, who we also mm-hmm. met on The Next Generation. But in this one, they mentioned some other captain that wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's before or after or what the deal is there, but yeah. It would have been nice if they mentioned DeSoto.
Yeah.
But that was cool. USS Hood. Yeah. So that was another little sneaky reference in there. Now, don't know if there are any
Riker, so Riker is from the Hood.
Riker is from the Hood.
Excellent.
Excellent. The USS Hood also pops up in Deep Space Nine.
I don't remember that.
Really?
For when they're one of the defending ships to take back Deep Space Nine from the Dominion when they were occupying it. Briefly.
Excellent knowledge.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
While we're on that topic, were there any other Easter eggs that you found? Those Leah Brahms, those the Hood, those Parisi squares. I think that was all the ones that I found in there.
Yeah. Although the Skrubble are very similar to the salt monster in the original series in that it makes you see things that you desire, or the salt monster mm-hmm. makes you desire, show you a desirable woman, the man trap.
It was cool that they were silicon based too.
Yeah, that was, that's what else I wrote down. Excuse me.
Did you guys catch the Nam of the day? There was only one that I caught, or Major Nam. It was Spock.
Oh, that was a major name.
They do love to mention
Spock. When did they mention Spock? It must have slipped by me.
I don't remember. It was early in the episode. I don't remember what they were talking about.
It was Miglimilov who said
that's right. Very, yes.
Because Tendi was studying all of this Vulcan stuff, mm-hmm. Vulcan stuff, and he mentioned it with mentioned Spock and all of that.
Yeah, how did he say it? I don't remember. He was like,
I don't remember the exact words,
but it was in that conversation. You're right. That's what it was. Yeah. And what's that doctor's name again?
Miglimo.
So for those of you keeping score at home, Spock has by far the most non-appearance mentions in Lower Decks. This is his seventh one already. Oh, no, wait. No, that just makes him tie for first place. You know who else has seven?
O'Brien.
Kirk.
Riker. Kirk. Oh.
Kirk and Spock both have seven non-appearance mentions.
Cool.
Picard has three. Data and Riker have three. Janeway has three. Quark has two. Worf has two. Q has two. Everybody else has one. Those of you keeping score at home.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Actually, Miglimo, he gave one of the lines that I did like in this episode, too, when he tells Tendi, he says, what good is how much you know if no one is listening? And yes! He was basically saying, I'm not listening to you. And
I loved it, yeah.
I wrote that down, too.
Because it sounds like he's given words of wisdom, but really he's just insulting her.
Yes.
Does it matter how much you know if no one is listening?
Yes, basically, I'm not listening to you. And it was the fools of the greatest, cleverest way I've ever heard somebody basically tell somebody
saying,
to shut the hell
I don't
up.
Care. Yeah. Oh, I don't care.
Exactly. Well, oh, it was creative.
Yeah. And I also got that don't say anything important. If you don't have anything important to say, then don't say anything at all.
Well, then we wouldn't have a show.
Knowledge only goes so far. Knowledge and facts only takes you so far. It's when you know how to use that knowledge and facts that you will, you'll actually start saying stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I got.
Yeah. I wasn't too thrilled with the B storyline of the Captain Freeman. Yeah. I thought it was.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like it was a little corny to me. It was like a little corny and slightly childish. I think they could have had a better. They could have made that point a little bit better instead of, hey, no, you take it. No, you take it. I was over that after the first like 5 seconds of it. I wish they did a little bit more with Captain Freeman.
Yeah. There was one line that came out of there that I enjoyed was when they were starting off with the take this. No, you take this. And she said, take the statue, young man. I was like, okay, that made me laugh. Don delivered it well. I'm loving Don's delivery because when Dawn Lewis, that's the actress that played Jaleesa, right, on A Different World. Uh-huh. And when she delivers Captain Freeman, I don't hear Jaleesa at all.
Mm-mm.
And that's what I like about it. I like that it's just, I hear Captain Freeman. I mean, if I think about it, I can recognize it. But a lot of times if you know somebody as like a major role, when they do voiceover, you're like, oh, that's just Jaleesa. I can't take Jaleesa out of my head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But no, she does a great job of just having a different way of speaking, a different cadence, a different, it's like authoritative. I think she's doing a great job. She's not getting a ton of work because this show is about the four lower deckers, but she's doing great, so far with what she's got. And I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. That B storyline was a little strange. Yeah. But we know why they did it because they had to get to that point, which was, when they break it and reveal, oh my God, it's a tracking device or whatever it was.
Right.
Recording device.
It's recording all of your deepest desires and thoughts and everything.
Yeah, just like Google.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the just difference?
Like everything.
The other line I liked from that Captain Freeman kind of exchange with the other captain was at the end when he was like, "You sure? You sure you want me to have this?" She's like, "Don't worry, I kept the bigger half, you know." Just like, yeah, you can have it, you know, but I always got to have something better than you. So I thought that was a cool little dig in there. But for the most part, I enjoyed the A storyline. And we've seen this before where people's like nightmares or their dreams are projected. Mm-hmm. I think we saw this in Discovery, first season or second season, something to the effect where what was in your head came to life or something. Remember, it was like your fears.
That happened also in Deep Space Nine to a sense with Rumpelstiltskin, that episode.
Right. Right. And it's funny
because you're muted, but Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, you knew what I said. Yeah. The line that I really enjoyed. Sorry. Were you still talking about the.
No. No. Go ahead.
Towards the end, when there's like some scrum, you know, in that B plot where they're kind of starting to fight and there's like a struggle. And Shaq, and they're like arguing, and Shaq's is like, "I'm having flashbacks." That cracked me up because he's just always such a tweaker. I do love me some Shaq's, even if he only gets one line per episode.
Well, but Ransom was also saying some funny stuff about the scientists, about how they're always finding aliens that lay eggs in their chests or get devoured by plants or run off. I was like, this is funny. I think that was his stand-up routine though.
Yeah. And then they also had, what's her name was funny. Ta'ana.
Yeah. The scene behind Ryan is really funny.
Yeah.
And I want to know what that alien is on his foot. What is that alien that's eating his foot?
She's like, his foot is being digested. He's like, what do you mean?
And then she goes, shut up. And that's right there. Shut up. Her bedside manner is legendary. That was a great scene with those guys. I did find the book that Tendi was supposed to be studying. The foreword was written by Ambassador Spock. That's where the Spock nap was.
Very good.
Certainly worthy of 20 minutes of me searching through my notes.
Yeah. Yay, we have an answer.
You mentioned Dawn and her voice and, you know, her history and how you hear her voice and only think of the Captain Freeman. This weekend, I was listening to the radio and a commercial came on for some fast food chain, you know, and I'm listening to the voice and I'm listening and it hit me all of a sudden. I was like, that's Rutherford. So Rutherford is out here doing some voiceover work. Yeah, nice. He's doing some voiceover work for some fast food company, but I could tell it was his voice. I was like, who is this guy? Gosh, he sounds so familiar. And then, you know, Rutherford does have a unusual pitch and sound to his voice. Yeah. And so when you hear it,
it's very interesting. You know,
it's very interesting. So when I heard it again this last weekend, I was like, is that Rutherford? Yeah, that's Rutherford. He's like, hey, guys, you know how he talks in that kind of way. And he was doing that in the commercial. And I was like, wow, this guy is, he's staying employed and keeping himself busy working because he's good at what he does. So
it's great.
Shout out to Rutherford. His comedy, his comedic timing is really great in the way he bends lines and delivers them.
I felt like he did do the voice of some other like smaller character. I don't remember which one it was. I don't think I put it in my notes, but there was some other character. Maybe it was this guy. I don't remember, but there was some other character that had like one or two lines. I was like, I wonder if that's Rutherford doing that. What's his name? Eugene Cordero, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. Hmm. But, you know, sometimes they'll do another voice here or there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Tellarite? I don't remember. I don't know. But I do like the Boimler as a cube. A hovering cube. Boimler's a hovering cube. That's...
Yeah. And it's crazy when you're in those situations like they were in. It made me think, wow, if my fantasies, whatever's in my head as a fantasy, were to actually materialize, then everybody would know what your fantasy is.
Yeah. And so that, not fair. But it did reveal that Mariner and Jennifer have kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. It sure did.
And what are they calling each other, babe, cool, or sweetie, babe, or honey?
Babe. It was babe. Yeah, hey, babe. But yeah, I thought that was cool. But it also made me think, oh wow, so if you have a fantasy that you didn't want people to know,
right?
And it's, you know, it's like Boimler, I'm sure he doesn't care that you know that he wants to get called on for the Borg War and swooped up in a sidecar. That's not that embarrassing for him.
It is a little bit nerdy.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. But, you know, we do expect that from Boimler, too.
Yeah. No, the episode was good. In the little basketball, playing basketball while they were gathering the stuff. And, you know, she's shooting hoops. And Steve Stevens. Steve Stevens, one of my favorite characters in this.
He is hilarious.
He's growing on me. He's really growing on me. In the beginning, I wasn't so sure, but now I'm starting to like him because he's so much of a typical, stereotypical ass kisser.
Yeah.
And it's tough to get, you know, a 10th or 11th or 12th character down the list to be super likable or to have like a really interesting personality. And his was a little tougher for us to grasp onto because it's not really an extreme character, but it's definitely one that we can kind of recognize in a funny way. You're like, okay, this guy.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
I know a guy like that.
Yeah, oh,
it's too funny.
So quirky.
Yeah. His line was bullshit. Where was it? He says, I can't find it, but yeah, that's when he said, when he was defending what's his name's honor. Bullshit. He's got the strongest core in the fleet. he was just livid about it. So good.
Actually, you know who he reminds me of in the animated world? He reminds me of Ned Flanders.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right?
You wouldn't catch Ned saying bullshit, though. But
No.
But. He's kind of a Ned Flanders. He's kind of a Ned Flanders type of guy, right?
Yeah.
From The Simpsons.
Yeah. Totally.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, before we go, do you guys have any final thoughts or favorite scenes on this episode? I thought this episode moved very quickly and was very entertaining. I didn't take as many notes as I normally do because I was just like enjoying. I was trying to write notes, but I was just kind of more into just watching like the different nightmare monsters that were popping up and all that stuff. And it just moves quickly. It's funny. There weren't a ton of Easter eggs. It feels like some episodes are like Easter egg episodes and other episodes just have like a couple and it's more about like the story or the comedy. This one obviously was the latter, but any last things stand out with you guys?
You know, for me, the thing that I kind of wanted a little bit more of was background on that alien, that big kind of alien
Scrubbles.
That looked like
Scrubbles.
Was that? Yeah, he looks like the creature at the Matterhorn when you're at the Disneyland ride.
Yes. The Yeti.
The Yeti, yeah.
I was thinking the Never-Ending Story.
Okay. All right.
The rock creature.
Right.
Yeah, right. So we all got reminded of somebody. That's why I kind of wanted a little bit, know more, a little bit about like, what's their intention for getting all the data? Like, what are they going to do with it? You know, is there kind of a Orion Syndicate type of thing, gathering information for some kind of bigger purpose or nefarious thing? I know they don't work on the same kind of storylines as DS9, which is that whole, you know, serialization type thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, kind of give me, you know, what are they doing? You know, for what? If they say, hey, oh, well, because this information is, we're going to build another parallel universe here, blah, 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 some kind of Star Trek-y type of explanation about what the hell they were doing, gathering all this information from people and what they're going to do with it. They got Starfleet equipment. So that was suspicious to me. Why do you have Starfleet equipment? And, you know,
Well, yeah, maybe they're going to do something like they did with the packlets and give us it in doses throughout the season.
Right.
Rather than,
I want more packlets.
Yeah.
I like the packlets. Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe you're right. It has something to do with the packlets. I don't know. Well, who knows? Could be anything. But they're definitely laying the groundwork for the scientists and the Scrubble working together, and they have all this Star Trek information. What is it for? So maybe they are the villains of this season.
You guys noticed that the Federation guy that ended up being teamed up with the Scrubble was not human. He was some other strange alien with ears. And I was just kind of like, what is that? You know, it always makes me curious. I'm always trying to figure out what they were, but I was not able to place that alien.
Again, how do they have access to Starfleet computer, you know, actual devices and whatnot? Where did they get all of this stuff from? There was no real explanation. I hope they do give us one later down, like the packlet thing you were talking about. At least I think that's a good kind of foreshadow for a possibility. Or they might just leave this whole storyline alone and just move on to the next thing. But I like tying up loose ends like that. To me, it was too wide openly left for them to not revisit it.
Which makes me wonder if they're going to revisit the Carlsbad as well, because they work so closely together in this episode.
Right.
Was that the ship, the Carlsbad?
Yes.
I thought it was something else. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, Carlsbad. Yeah.
Any of those characters from the Carlsbad that you liked more than others?
I liked them all. I thought they were all good. None of them really stood out. I mean, there was the lady was kind of like a little bit more of a main person, you know? So I think we probably got more from her. But I thought all three were great. They were all likable and fun and interesting in their own ways. We know that one dude's a great swimmer, for example.
Yeah.
I liked them all too. There wasn't any one of them that rubbed me the wrong way. Although the one that I think is a Tellarite said a funny thing about his pulling. I think I pulled my dominant groin.
Yes, I did catch that. Because that opens up all kinds of thoughts. Is this guy Klingon? What's the deal here?
What's going on here?
Plus a dominant groin. Well, never mind. I don't want to go any further with that. But it does raise questions, you know, just that word dominant. Okay, so there's a second one. And
at least a second one.
True. There could be like a main one and like seven others.
Yeah.
It's like Medusa down there.
Oh god.
All right. Wow.
So anyway.
And tune in next week, folks, where we will be.
Oh, we're canceled? Oh, okay. Sorry, the network has canceled us. NBC. No. We don't anything like that.
NPC wished they had jokes like us.
We told them no thank you. Yeah. however, we would like to give a very special thanks to the real heroes, not NBC. Their names are, in alphabetical order, Homer Frizzell, Dr. Anne Marie Siegel, Eve England out in Wales, Yvette Blackman Tom, Carmen, a.k.a. Skillet. What? This is their alphabetical in the Klingon language. You know, okay. I'm just translating. Okay. It's just a thing. Timothy Baum, TJ Jackson Bay out in Missouri. Bill Victor Arukin.
Arukin.
Titus Muller, Darlena Marie, John Mann, Dr. Muhammad Noor, Tierney C. Diekman, Anna Post, Rex A. Wood, but I wouldn't, Anil O. Palat, Erica Strom, Joe Balsarati, Mike Gu, and the following in alphabetical order, DQ, Neil Akasaka, Justine Norton Kurtzen, Dr. Stephanie Baker, Carrie Schwent, Faith Howell, Edward Foltz, Radek Orshevsky, Henry Unger, Mai, live from Tokyo. And of course, never forget Dr. Susan V. Gruner.
Ooh. Sweet.
That was a tough losing my
voice.
Every time
you say Erica
Strom, you made it.
Erica Strom in my pain with me.
Okay.
That's all. I just have to say that.
Very good. Roberta Flack. Roberta Flack, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. That's all we got for you this week. But we'll see you again soon. And thanks, Melissa, for playing with us. This has been fun.
Yay!
This is Lower Decks episode 3. Can't wait for the next 7, but we're going to. And everybody at home, on behalf of myself, Melissa, Aaron Eisenberg, Sirach Lofton, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Until then, always remember the 7th rule.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.